grab it and turn to the book of 1 John. And today we're going to be in chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the pew directly in front of you, so you can go ahead and grab that. And if you're not familiar with the book of 1 John, it's in what we refer to as the New Testament, and it's actually pretty simple to find. It's towards the end. It's actually the fifth book from the end. So if you kind of just flip to the back of the Bible and just kind of browse back your way, you'll find 1 John. And today, again, we're going to be in chapter 4. One of the things that we've been doing here at our church for with our last series is we were doing some text messaging, so where people could text their questions in. So we're not doing that for the Christmas series because we, as Keith and I talked and we kind of wrestled through that, we said that it didn't really feel like that fit with this series, but that is something as we lean into the new year that we'll be doing again. So just in case you were wondering about that. I don't know about you guys. I was thinking this the other day. My family, we went to Michigan for a couple of days to see some relatives. We just got back last night, and we had stopped at a store on the way back, and it was a little crazy in the store. And it's like, well, of course it's a little crazy. We're only a couple weeks from Christmas. Can you guys believe that? Like, we're only a couple weeks from Christmas. Like, I'm still trying to figure out exactly where 2019 went. So Dan and I have that conversation sometimes where I'm like, I don't know where this year went. It just seems like it's been so busy, and we're finally kind of at the end of the year, and now we're talking like 2020, which just sounds crazy to even say that, like 2020. This year has flown by. Are you guys excited for Christmas? Yes, some of you are. I'm excited for Christmas. I love the Christmas season. I used to not enjoy it as much as I do now, but I have found that I truly enjoy just the season of Christmas, the lights, right? You got Christmas cookies, you got, right, family get-togethers and friends. I really do. I love the Christmas season. It was interesting, as I was doing some study this past week, I came across multiple articles detailing that for many, the Christmas season can be the most stressful time of the year. In an article entitled "The Psychology of What Makes Us Crazy at Christmas," New Zealand College of Clinical Psychologists President Deb Moore speaks about the factors that make this time of the year so overwhelming for many. Moore lists multiple stress points such as family dynamics, childcare, time constraints, financial obligations, and then went on to say this: for many, Christmas is a lonely time that triggers the past losses, regrets, sense of failure, sadness, and grief for family members or a way of life no longer present. The Anxiety Disorder Association of Victoria took to Facebook. This was interesting, and they did a whole series of posts in which they called Daily Tips to Help Limit Anxiety This Christmas Period. And one of the things they said, and I liked this one, it kind of stuck out to me, they said, at some point today, sit down and think about what you're thankful for. Because sometimes we have to do that, because this time of year, things can get a little bit crazy. You know, as I was reading some of this stuff, I was thinking about this, that you would think that due to the high levels of stress and anxiety that tends to accompany this time of year, that would be reflected in people's actions. Meaning this, that people would be grumpy, people would be unpleasant. But that doesn't actually seem to be the case, does it? Actually, it seems like just the opposite happens. That Christmas seems to bring out the best in people. Right? During this time of year, it seems like people are a little bit friendlier. Well, maybe not so much on Black Friday. They're not necessarily friendlier on Black Friday. So we'll discount that one day. But it does seem that during this time of year that people are friendlier. They're more generous. They're more considerate. I don't know about you guys, but to me, it almost seems like there's something about this time of year that causes people to behave differently. And when I say behave differently, I'm saying in a good way. It causes people to behave in a better way. You know, that could be the result of social pressures that kind of tell us you're supposed to exhibit holiday cheer, right? I seen a Christmas sweater the other day. It had Darth Vader on it, and it said, "Your lack of joy is disturbing." And I was like, I really like that Christmas. I almost bought it. That, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan. But it does seem like there's something during this time of season. It draws it out of people. It could be social pressures. Could be because we're told we need to act a certain way during the Christmas time. But I believe this. I believe that the reason that this year causes us, leads us to be kinder and gentler people, more generous people, is because there's something inside of us that connects with this time of season. There's something that this time of the year, it draws it out of us. There's something that's in each and every single one of us. And when Christmas comes, it comes out. And I think it's the very thing that Christmas is centered on. We could say it even this way. It's the very thing that Christmas is founded upon. And that is this. It's love. It's love. Now, when we use the word love, we tend to use it in many different ways in our culture, and to an extent that sometimes this word love loses its meaning, right? So sometimes we use the word love to express something that we like a lot, like I love ice cream, which is a very true statement. At least in our home it is. Very true statement. I'm just saying, you don't get a body like this by not eating some ice cream. So, right? We love ice cream. It's something we like a lot, but then we also use it to explain romantic feelings. We fall in love. We fall out of love. But what's interesting is in Scripture, that's not really how the Bible uses the word love. Although Scripture does convey some of those feelings, we do have some stories about romantic love. More often, when the Bible speaks about love, it speaks of it in the sense of a devotion or a commitment that leads one to selflessly serve another, regardless of the cost. Right? So when the Bible speaks about love, it's not just saying like, oh, I really like this thing, or oh, it causes those butterflies in my stomach that sometimes we associate with romantic love. When Scripture speaks of love, it speaks of a devotion. It speaks of a commitment that leads one to selflessly serve another or others, regardless of the cost. As a pastor, I have the joy of, I've been able to officiate multiple weddings. And whenever I do that, it's usually preceded by a time of, we do pastoral counseling, and Angela and I will meet with them and we'll talk with them and try to really kind of speak into their lives of these couples. And one of the things I always do is I always ask this question of, well, why do you guys want to get married? And what normally I hear is things about, man, I just love this person, and they make me feel so great, and we have so much in common, and everything is, you know, and they kind of talk about that romantic aspect, that butterflies, that excitement. And I always tell them, like, that's awesome, that's great, like, that's exciting. But we have to remember that's not what's going to keep the marriage. Because you enter into marriage, right, when you're, yeah, this excitement and this joy, and you got this butterfly, and you're like, oh, this is so great. And then if you've been married for any amount of time, you know this, right, that marriage isn't that forever. There's seasons of that, and it's beautiful and it's great. But really, what is love? It's commitment. It's about selflessly serving. Matter of fact, I've even used this line to couples. I've said, I don't care why you're getting married. What I care about is why you're going to stay together. Not saying that the other stuff's not important. Don't misquote me there. But it's about that commitment. It's about biblical love. And Christmas reminds us of biblical love. It's the reason why we're willing to endure a season in which, right, psychologists are telling us it causes anxiety and depression. We endure it with a smile on our face. Because when we serve others, it is a reflection of our Creator. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse number 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God has made manifest among us that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. John here teaching us, and what he's sharing with us is this, that God revealed what true love is through the Christmas story. God is love, and this is how he showed that love. This is how that love was manifested in this world that we can look at, this very tangible thing that we can grab a hold of. It is this, that God sent his Son into the world. Christmas is founded on love. Biblical love. That selflessly serves others. And John wants us to understand that. When we think about love, again, we have all these different ways we use that word in our daily life. What Scripture wants us to do is it wants us to be centered. It wants us to understand, to see what the example of true love really is. We can say it's the benchmark of true love. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. I mean, think about the gospel message. That God himself selflessly left his glory in heaven. And that he entered into creation as a man. God left his glory, the position he held to be worshipped and honored and to hear the angels and the other angelical beings and the manifestations that we see in Scripture that's in heaven. God left that, and he entered selflessly into creation as a man. And then as a man, God, Jesus, lived the life that you and I couldn't. He lived a life of complete obedience to God the Father. And then he went to the cross. And he could, because he lived that perfect life. The life that you and I can't, God lived for us. And then because of that, he was able to go and offer himself as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins, to redeem us, to save us. I like this word, to rescue us. That God in the flesh, Jesus, rescued us from our sin and the consequences of our sins, which would have been eternity separated from God the Father. But instead, we have this hope of an eternity with God. An eternity with God, that one day we'll be with our Creator. Can you imagine how awesome that's going to be? When there's no more pain and there's no more suffering. When no one gets sick. When no one ever has their heart broken. When we're with him. When we actually get to wrap our arms around Jesus and hug him. I love the scene that Mary, when Jesus first rose from the grave, and Mary sees him, and she just wants to cling to him. And he's like, hey, I have to go back to the Father. But she just wants to hang on to him. I think that's the way it's going to be when we see Jesus. I think we're just going to grab onto him and just like, oh, just hanging, just like, Jesus! Oh, like, it's going to be amazing. And we get to do that because of selfless love. Because God was willing to die for us. He was willing to give of himself. He was willing to sacrifice. And now John says, if you want to know what love is, that's it. Right? It's not liking ice cream a lot. It's not even the butterflies. Not that those things are wrong. I'm not saying that. But true love is selfless love. God didn't have to die for us. God didn't have to enter into creation for us. He chose to because of love. And I think that regardless of one's faith, whether a person is a Christian or a non-Christian, there's something about the Christmas season, right? Something inside of us that taps into that spiritually. Because Christmas is the celebration of love. The love that is made manifest through Jesus. In you and I, we were created to reflect God's image. We were created to be God's representatives. I think that's why during Christmas, we're more than willing to give, to sacrifice. It's why we have a smile on our face. It's why we say hi to that person that we pass in the store that we don't even know. Because Christmas is about love. And it's demonstrated through Jesus. But here's the thing. For Christians, if you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus, Christmas is not just about a day. It's not just about a day. Really, Christmas should be a way of life for us. It should be a way of life. And let me explain what I mean by that. John said this, that as we have been shown love through the birth of Jesus, we are called now to live our lives in such a way that we reveal God's love each and every day. You know, we live in a world that is wired 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They are plugged in, they are online, right? Mass media, social media, I mean, you name it. Spend some time, and what you'll find is there is a constant message of negativity, of cynicism, of hatred, of inferiority. Constant message that tells people they are not good enough. Our world needs to hear the gospel message of love. And they don't just need to hear it, they need to see it. They need to see that message lived out each and every day as we sacrificially, biblically love others. And it can't just be that season between, right, the end of Thanksgiving and December 25. But every day, to live in such a way that we would reveal God's love. During the late 2nd century, early 3rd century, there was a theologian who lived, whose name was Tertullian. And Tertullian, he was writing during a time in which there was immense persecution on the church. So we sometimes forget about this here in America, where, let's be honest, we have it pretty comfortable. No one's kicking in our front door and dragging us out for professing to be Christians. We're not overly, even though we do have a safety team here at the church, we're not overly concerned that someone's going to come in here and try to harm us. If we get caught with a Bible, we're not imprisoned. But that's not the world that the church experienced in the later part, especially of the 2nd century and into the 3rd century, where Christians were imprisoned, when Christians were beaten, where they were put in the Roman Colosseum for sport so they could be watched as others could watch as they were killed. One of the early church fathers, one of the actual apostles, gentleman who replaced Judas, claims that he was actually skinned to death. Others were crucified. They tried to boil John in oil. The church experienced immense persecution. And yet, Tertullian, North African theologian, writes that while people mocked Christians, while they persecuted them and imprisoned them and took their property, they were known to say, "But look how they love one another. Look how they love one another." You know, that saying should be true for us today, just as it was centuries ago. That even if people think that we're crazy, because we believe that a woman who was a virgin, who was never intimate, that she got pregnant, had a child, that this child grew up, claimed to be God in the flesh, performed miracles, walked on water, was ultimately crucified, and then came back to life. That even if they were to look at us and go, "You guys are crazy for believing that," imagine what it would be that in the midst of that, if they said, "But yeah, but look at how they love." It's interesting, Jesus said this, that the way that people would know that we are his disciples would not be because we come to church every Sunday. It wouldn't be because we give to a building campaign. I think those are important things, right, to live generously and to come and to worship together. But Jesus said this, that people would know that we are his disciples by how we love. And it's amazing that in the midst of persecutions where Christians were being put in the Colosseum so people could watch them die, shortly after that, everything changes. Actually, Christianity becomes the state religion of Rome. Now, there's some negative stuff that caused later on down the road, but I find it fascinating how Christianity changed the world. And the church did it through love. Through love. So this Christmas season, this is my encouragement to us as a church, to every day to look for opportunities to live selflessly. To every day to look for opportunities to show God's love to the world. To show our world what Christmas is really about. It's not about lights, and it's not about trees, and it's not about presents with bows on them. It's not about dinners. It's not about watching the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Even though all that stuff is fun. And I'm not saying that stuff is wrong. Don't hear me that way. But that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about love. It's about biblical love. About a commitment a devotion to selflessly serve others, regardless of the cost. Because that's what Jesus did. And today, that's what he's calling us to do, too. So let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your love and your mercy. God, we thank you that we have this amazing example of what true love is. And Lord Jesus, it is you entering into creation as a man, willfully serving others, and then Jesus offering yourself as our sacrifice of giving your life in place of ours, so God, so that way we could be blessed and we could have hope of eternity with you. Jesus, we give you thanks, and as we have gathered together today, Lord, we worship you as the only God, as the sovereign King. And Lord, we give you thanks for the mercy that we have received through you. Lord, I ask that you would help us to live in such a way that we would demonstrate your love to others. God, that we would open our hearts to share and to give and to bless others. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see opportunities each and every day of how we could show your love to others. Whether that's through offering prayer or helping or serving, whatever that is, God, help us to see those opportunities. And Lord Jesus, we pray that as we do that, that your Spirit would move, that the Holy Spirit would open hearts to receive the gospel. And Lord, that through that, they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Jesus, we thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you for the truth. And we thank you, God, that Christmas is not just about a day, but it's about a life of following you. So Jesus, we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.